नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्ठिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरोन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देहं श्रीगुरु श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपां साग्रजातां सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितं तां सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपदान् सहगणा ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्णा करुणा सिन्धु दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेशा गोपिका कान्त राधाकान्त नमोऽस्तु ते तप्तकाञ्चन गौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
I just wanted to tell something about the test actually. I wanted to give the question before, but somehow I was not able to find time actually. But the main point which I want to emphasize is that, as we are told previously, that the main lesson from this Avadhut Brahmana's section is that we learn to take initiative for learning something. Avadhut Brahmana, when he was traveling, none of these personalities, they spoke to him, but he took initiative from his side to actually to learn. So in the same way, like many, because we hear this, but we need to actually apply it in our life. Applying it means that, like, one is that waiting for the questions and then we opening the book. So, instead of that, the whole thing is that we learn to take initiative and try to open the book and try to read it. So we need to apply it in that manner. I'm saying. Even it's not just with you, the problem is there with actually, you know, with others also. Like, because one devotee was studying the Sharanagati, so another devotee came and asked that, so he's studying, that means, do you have to give some class or something? So that means the inherent attitude is that, we study the books, or when we have to give some class. But like when somebody else takes the initiative and then tells that, oh, now you have to speak to somebody. So then we take the initiative to actually open the book. So at least at that time you open, that is good. But then, so one has to go beyond that. That means like whether somebody tells me to give a class or whether I have to speak or something, but I should learn to take shelter of Srila Prabhupada's books. So this is actually more, this kind of attitude is a much better attitude, because you are not depending on the external sources. Because many times you may not get that, somebody may not call you for a class or somebody. But if we actually, at least my personal feeling is that, when we try to actually take initiative, whether others are telling us to speak or not, when we just try to read Prabhupada's books or something, and then after a period of time we get so much of opportunity that we are not even able to handle that. At least I felt like that. At a certain point I didn't have much engagement. At least I had a habit of reading Prabhupada's book. But now I'm not able to handle so many responsibilities and increasing effectiveness. So the point is that when we try to take an initiative from our side, you know, somebody is not pushing us, so then Krishna will actually reciprocate in such a manner that there is like complete fulfillment, and there will be so much of services, overload of services, you might not be able to handle them. So the same attitude, like whether I'm not saying only with you, but the same problem is there even with sometimes with the devotees in the ashram also, that they feel that, oh, we'll open the book, or when there is, we have to speak on the Bhagavatam. So then we get opportunity, then we may just open Bhagavatam only once in a month or once in few months or something like that. But actually with respect to Bhagavatam, we have to do Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. So of course, and another thing, especially with respect to test, I was sharing like in the sixth canto, in the beginning of the sixth canto, Parishit Maharaj asks a question, but how the people in the hellish planets can be delivered? Because at the end of the fifth canto, Shukadeva Goswami gives a detailed description of the hellish planets. And Shukadeva Goswami and Parishit Maharaj, hearing the description, he feels greatly moved, and then he asks question, how the people in the hellish planets can be delivered. So Shukadeva Goswami, he first gives a solution from the Karma Kanda, and then he gives a solution from the Jnana Kanda, and then finally he actually gives Bhakti Yoga's ultimate solution. So Shukadeva Goswami is doing that because he is wanting to test the intelligence of Parishit Maharaj. So if we see, many times like when we have to give a test, if the test is actually pre-announced previously, or if the questions are given previously, yes. Nonsense, it is easy to perform the test because we know what is the syllabus and what are the questions, from that it will come. But when there is a surprise test, then we are actually tested how much we actually assimilated. So even whether in the case of writing exam, or even in the case of like, suppose we have to speak on something, like suppose if somebody is told beforehand, then a person actually prepares well. Definitely one should try, because devotees have come to hear, one should try to prepare as far as possible in order to serve the devotees better. Yes, I am not condemning them. But the point I am saying is that like sometimes it is easy to give a good talk preparing beforehand, But sometimes when there's a surprise, this one, on the spot we have to give a talk or something, then many times we don't get the what we assimilated, only that will come out. So when there is a surprise test, actually tests a person of how much a person has actually learnt and how much a person has actually internalized in his life. And always in our life, actually the real life test will be actually always surprise test. So if you are all the time conditioned to only pre-announced test, then sometimes when the real life surprise test comes, it can become a really jolt to us. So sometimes we need to have the practice of surprise test. But in the case of Shukadev Goswami, when he was testing Parikshit Maharaj, at least in the case of the surprise test, till you announced, okay, now you are going to have a test. So till that time it is a surprise. But once you announce, oh, now there is a test, these are the questions, then the surprise is gone. But in the case of Shukadev Goswami, he was testing Parikshit Maharaj, but Parikshit Maharaj was not having the idea that he is being tested. Because usually in a test, questions are given and you are supposed to answer. But here, the Parikshit Maharaj is asking the question, and Shukadev Goswami, by giving the answer, he was testing Parikshit Maharaj. They actually reverse this one. In that sense, he is not even giving the feeling to Parikshit Maharaj that he is actually trying to test his intelligence. So then in that case, when Parikshit Maharaj is saying that I am not satisfied with Karmakanda, this answer from the Karmakanda solution, that when a person performs atonement, it is just like an elephant's breathing. So that shows actually the heart of Parikshit Maharaj, how much he has actually fixed his heart in the process of devotional service, how much his heart has fixed the siddhanta of devotional service. Otherwise, sometimes we will be practicing devotional service with a fruitive attitude. There may be karmakanda attitude in the practice of devotional service. But when Shukadev Goswami was testing Parikshit Maharaj, that he did not even give a feeling that he is being tested. So he could actually bring out that, from that we can actually understand how Parikshit Maharaj's heart was actually fixed in the siddhanta of devotional service, not that his brain was fixed in devotional service, but his heart was fixed in karmakanda. So in that sense, can be helpful sometimes, surprise test. So it can help us for the real life test. So we'll start with the 8th chapter is entitled The Story of Pingala. Shri Brahmana Uvacha.
Shri Brahmana Uvacha.
Sukam Aindriyakam Rajan.
Sukam Aindriyakam Rajan.
Swarge Narakak Evacha.
Swarge Narakak Evacha.
Dehinam Yadyata Dukkam.
Dehinam Yadyata Dukkam.
Tasman Necheta Tadbutaha.
Tasman Necheta Tadbutaha.
Embodied living entity automatically experiences unhappiness in heaven or hell. Similarly, happiness will also be experienced even without one's seeking it. Therefore, a person of intelligent discrimination does not make any endeavor to obtain such material happiness.
So here, in this story, in this chapter, Avadhut Brahmana is continuing with the further gurus. So far we had discussed, I think last week we discussed lessons from 8 gurus. First was earth. And then the second, in the earth there are, from the earth, mountain and tree. All three are representatives of the earth. And then second guru was, in the air, what in the air there are two types are there, internal and external air. In the internal air one learns satisfaction. So yes, satisfaction. And from the external air one learns detachment from sense objects, not being attached to surroundings. And another is not being attached to one's own body. Not being attached to one's own body. So, and then the third guru was ether. Ether was the third guru. Ether, we learn about the lessons of Atma and Paramatma. Then, how the Atma and Paramatma are undivided, detached, and all pervading. By studying the nature of ether. And the fourth guru is water. And what are the qualities of water and what we can learn? Water is pure in nature. Saintly person should have purity.
And
gentle purifies others. Sweet, sweet sound, yeah. So just same thing I just expected, like saintly person should have purity and by coming in contact with others, others get purified. He has a sweet speech, gentle by nature. So just in that sense, like I just expect some 4 or 5 words only. Nothing more to the point. And then, what is the next guru?
Fifth
is fire. Fire, at least 3-4 verses were discussed. What are the qualities, some other, anybody remembers?
Even in contact with contaminated things,
does not get affected. So similarly, a saintly person sometimes he might eat some uncontaminated food, but still he doesn't get affected. And what other quality? Sometimes he sometimes it remains in concealed form. Sometimes it actually reveals itself.
So he acts as the spiritual master. For all those and burns to ashes
the reactions
of
the
reactions,
past and future.
By
accepting
the
offer. Yes. And any other?
Should be handled with care.
Should be handled with care. So similarly, we have to deal with carefully with the saintly person. Of course, when we talk about, we say, like many of this. Different lessons about the saintly person, like what are the qualities of a saintly person are mentioned. When you talk about saintly person, always keep in mind that it's not that it refers to somebody, some sannyasi or somebody in a particular robes or something. It refers to actually all the devotees. A saintly person can be even in a pant shirt with them. So do not think that it applies to when you come to temple and it applies to even that your fellow devotees, other devotees in the base or family, in the sense. So all of us are supposed to imbibe these qualities. And what is the next guru? And he mentions
the moon also.
Moon. The moon undergoes but it remains same. It actually it is waxing and waning, but actually it remains same. So similarly,
the body goes through different changes.
Soul remains same. Yeah. Body undergoes 6 changes. And then again he goes to
fire.
And what is that method called? Yeah. But even if you know, don't know the Sanskrit, but what is it is called?
Lines. It goes ahead and then turns back ahead.
Yeah, that's what I expect. And then what is the next guru?
Sun.
Saintly person sometimes accepts without attachment and then again he gives away without attachment. And the next guru is
Pigeon.
So what is the main lesson from Pigeon?
Excessive
affection.
Affection and lamentation.
Yeah, excessive affection, yeah, and lamentation also. The main thing is like when you have excessive affection, it will result in lamentation. So it's not that affection is not condemned, but excessive affection, and also we talked about Like affection as a tool and affection as a goal. Like affection as a goal is to be for Krishna. And affection as a tool is with respect to others so that we can perform our duties. And we also talked about the importance of family life also, in a sense. Because excess, when you have excessive affection towards the family life, it is like a person going to the
higher place.
Going to a high place and then trip and fall. But we also talked about how there is the importance of being situated in an ashram. Varnashram is like a bridge in order to actually go to a devotional service. So now we'll go to this verse. This is just directly from the purport. One hand, if one excessively indulges in material desires, one will lose
What is the name of the method of sage again?
Simhavalokana.
Okay.
The second question, the answer is like, one will lose seriousness, gravity and seriousness in spiritual life. One will lose gravity and seriousness in spiritual life. Just to test whether you read the purport I mentioned. So in that sense, I just expect, say, yes. So three words and here two lines, like, very simple. So now in the 8th chapter, the first 4 verses is actually describing the 9th guru. This is the python or ajagar. So the lesson from python is that, can you guess like what lesson we can learn from python?
Doing nothing.
Okay, doing nothing. One part, but it's not complete. Does not endeavor. Okay, but it's still incomplete.
It is satisfied with of its own accord. Doesn't end. Like prayasa is.
Then whatever comes, he kinds of grabs.
He is always satisfied whatever he receives by.
Yeah, this is all true. But, so,
this same lesson.
But like, can we be satisfied? Suppose suppose we have lost some, we're supposed to collect some money for, say, book distribution money is there, but money is lost, so can we be just satisfied? So, the main lesson is that not over endeavoring for maintaining the material body. One should not over endeavor for maintaining the material body. Dissatisfied with whatever comes, but this should be on the material platform. So on the spiritual platform, one should not be satisfied with one's endeavor. Like when we talk about this principle of patience and enthusiasm. Enthusiasm should be for the endeavor, and patience should be for the results, the spiritual platform. Enthusiasm, we should not be satisfied with our endeavor, but even if suppose sometimes some contrary results come, but we have to go on with the service. We have to put in more efforts. But usually we try to be satisfied with our endeavor, and we are enthusiastic for the results. So here, especially the lesson from the python is that one should not over endeavor for maintaining the material body. One should not over endeavor for maintaining the material body. But for the service of Krishna, we should try to endeavor sometimes. We have to go beyond the capacity also. So the embodied living entity automatically experiences unhappiness and happiness in heaven or hell. Sukam aindriyakam rajan swarge naraka evacha. It's like every person's happiness and distress is actually the material, according to his karma, it is like a nonsense, pretty distant. Dehinam yadyata dukkam tasman neche tadbudaha. So that, tadbudaha, therefore a person of intelligent discrimination does not make any endeavor to obtain such material happiness. So here Hridayananda Maharaj writes in the purport, how should an intelligent person see the best material situation? He says that either in heaven or in hell one may eat, drink, sleep and have sex life, but these activities being based on the material body are temporary and inconsequential. An intelligent person should see that even the best material situation is actually a punishment for previous unlawful activities executed outside the scope of devotional service to God. Right. Which is a profound statement.
Okay.
But if you get best material situation, suppose you have got the first rank in CET or you have got a promotion in a office. You should see that this actually is a punishment for my activities which were done outside the scope of devotional service. You should try to meditate on this statement. Even the best material situation is actually punishment for previous unlawful activities executed outside the scope of loving devotional service. And after struggling in material life, which is full of hardship and hypocrisy, one may receive a little sense gratification, but this illusory pleasure in no way offsets the burden of suffering one must bear to obtain it. So this illusory pleasure in no way offsets the burden of suffering. After all, a pretty hat is no cure for a homely face. And if one really wants to solve life's problems, one should live simply and reserve the major portion of one's life for loving service to Krishna. So basically the idea is that on the material platform, like today morning Govindra was also telling, like people, when it comes to spiritual life, they say that when the Lord actually gives inspiration, that time I will come for satsang. But on the material platform, we are actually inspired from within to put more endeavor. So we put endeavor, that's not definitely. But here the point is over endeavoring on the material platform at the cost of spiritual life. Over endeavoring should be on the spiritual platform and not on the material platform. The story of that the bird actually who laid the eggs, the ocean actually took the eggs, sparrow, and then the sparrow was trying to actually drive that ocean. So Prabhupada gave that example to actually how we should be determined to practice spiritual activities. So this is one should actually take that. So if you see, like, since Prabhupada is talking about even if a person gets in both material heaven and hell, happiness and unhappiness come automatically due to our previous activities. Although the proportions of happiness and unhappiness certainly vary. So, one devotee was giving a beautiful example. We say the heavenly happiness. There is a hotel called as Hotel Marriott. It's a 7-star hotel in Delhi. So, one person was saying that hotels for a desi karna, they create a atmosphere like a dhaba, the 7-star hotel, except for the bad smell and that. The air condition, this one, but they set up like a dhaba. Then somebody asks for some fulka roti or something. So then one person, he makes online fulka roti and then gives. The bill is like 130 rupees. One full curve. So in the sense, you get the same happiness what you may get in a dhaba, but the cost is like more. But in the heavenly planet also, the same happiness is available. Same happiness is available, but cost is more, or we may enjoy for a better, a little longer time, etc. But then the point is that the same happiness of eating, waiting, sleeping and drinking. What the dhaba also, it is the same full car, but it's not going to taste something different. So in that sense. But in the heavenly planets, one thing is that recharge facility is not there. Like suppose if a person says that, oh, I want to stay for some more time. He said, for recharging you have to go to earthly planet. So there is no plug point there that you can actually do some more piety and then continue to stay there. For recharging you have to come to the earthly planet. And that duality is like, it will be very difficult for a person to take. From the heavenly planet to come to the earthly planet for recharging, that will be like a sudden change in the situation. So, can read the translation of next verse.
Following the example of the python, one should give up material endeavors and accept for one's maintenance food that comes of its own accord, whether such could be delicious or tasteless, ample or meager.
So, with python, this quality is explained of not over-endeavoring for material, on the material platform is explained with the example of python, especially with the python's activity of eating. With actual, about controlling the tongue, that lesson will come little later. But here, python is, especially the python's activity of eating is explained, but the lesson being emphasized is like, not over-endeavoring on the material platform for anything. But whether a food is delicious or tasteless or ample or eager, one should give up material endeavors. Next one. Shaitahani bhurini niraharonu pakramaha yadi nopanayet graso mahahir iva dishtabuk.
If at any time food does not come, then a gently person should fast for many days without making endeavor. He should understand that by Lord's arrangement he must fast. Thus, following the example of the python, he should remain peaceful and patient.
So here it's explained, the previous verse explained that whether a person gets a tasteless food or ample food or should be satisfied with that. But this verse explains what if a person does not get food. So at least it's very difficult to practice on a practical level, but at least we try to take the principle and try to practice according to our situation. So what if a person does not get food, one should simply continue to fast. And one should remain peaceful and patient. So, although I am just reading, but at least it is very difficult for me also to practice, especially with respect to food and say thirst. Hunger and thirst are like such strong emotions that it is difficult for unless a person is actually experiencing the higher taste, we can speak about it, but then it is very difficult for us to, even whether brahmacharis or the grihasthas, even brahmacharis, or very difficult for us to actually practice. So here, right, due to my past sinful activity, I am now being punished. In this way, God is mercifully making me humble. So the word shaita means one should remain peaceful and patient without mental agitation. So, means like here Hridayananda Maharaj is writing, one should give up the mental agitation, should remain peaceful. That means, one should have faith in the, one should, even in that like unpalatable situation of not getting food, one should not curse the Supreme Lord, one should continue to have faith in Krishna. So today, going through, talked about how the Pandavas, the predictable nature is that they always had the loyalty towards Krishna and with the other, like with each other. So here he says that Dishtabuk means one must accept the Supreme Lord as the Supreme Controller and not foolishly give up one's faith due to material inconvenience. Like this theme comes like repeatedly in the Bhagavatam, like Satyenu Kampam Susamikshamano. We should never give up one's faith. Because the greatest thing is actually, like Maharaj was explaining in a class, wealth is lost, like not much is lost. If wealth or some health, of course health we have to take care, but the point he was trying to say is that if the wealth is lost or some other, some name is lost or something is lost. But if the faith is lost, then everything is lost. So he said, the greatest service which we can perform to others is that to act in such a way that we increase others' faith. To act or speak or perform or conduct in such a way that increase others' faith. And the greatest disservice which you can perform to others is that to act in such a way that we actually it decreases others' faith. So in that sense, one class Radhana Sarma was explaining, it was long back when there was that earthquake happened 1989 or 1993. So he gave a very beautiful class. Especially one point which I remember is like about alarm clocks. He said, these natural disasters, they are like actually alarm clocks for the people. Like when the alarm clocks rings, then we immediately wake up. So these disasters act like alarm clocks and we wake up to reality that this material world is actually miserable. And then he mentioned one more point. He said that actually these natural disasters act like alarm clocks, but even devotees should act like alarm clocks for materialists. He said, it's like devotees, by practicing Krishna consciousness seriously, how they, by exhibiting their happiness in the path of, by practicing spiritual life, they should act like alarm clocks to materialists, and they should, like, they should get alarmed by saying, oh, these people are not doing any of the things which I am trying to do. These people are not watching India-Pakistan match, but still they are so excited and happy in their life. Like what the source of their happiness? That should actually wake them up. Like devotees' activity should act like alarm clocks. So in that sense, that means like trying, acting in such a way that which increases others' faith. Next verse. Ojasaho balo yutam.
Ojasaho balo yutam.
Bibraddeham akarmakam.
Bibraddeham akarmakam.
Shayano vita nidrascha.
Shayano vita nidrascha.
Nehe tendriya vanapi.
Nehe tendriya vanapi.
Person should remain peaceful and materially inactive, maintaining his body without much endeavor. Even though possessed of full sensual, mental and physical strength, a saintly person should not become active for material gain, but rather should always remain alert to his actual self-interest.
So basically he's saying that one should always remain alert to one's actual self-interest. So Riyan Maharaj says that Vishnu Chakradagu says the example of Python is given so that one will not uselessly waste his time in bodily maintenance. The transcendentalist should always be awake to his eternal relationship with the Supreme Lord. Vita Nidra. Vita Nidra. Just like a classic example is that how one should be always alert. Can anybody know? Does anybody know any example? Shastra.
Maharaj Katwang.
It's like the immediate thing which comes to our mind. That when the demigods ask the question, what benediction you want? They said, I want to know like, when I am going to die. Just the fact that he asked the question, that itself shows that he was actually alert to that. So one should be active in spiritual advancement and inactive in material sense gratification. And also Kriyan Maharaj writes another point, and complete inactiveness, that also, that means tamogun. Which is like, a person is active in spiritual life at the material platform and a person becomes completely inactive. So it may appear to be like complete inactiveness can appear to be a liberated person, it can also refer to as a person in tamogun. So one should be active in the spiritual platform, and the material platform just do the needful. You should not become completely inactive. Jadabharat. Because if you see in the case of Jadabharat, we have to learn the mainly the principle, like one sense we cannot imitate the Jadabharat like acting like Avadhuta or something. But the principle, does anybody know like what is the Jadabharat was acting in such a awkward manner, and like when somebody would teach him, his father would teach him, after passing stool you should actually cleanse yourself. He would first cleanse himself and then you pass stool. But exactly it is the opposite thing. The father would teach him about a different thing. He would exactly try to do the opposite thing. So what is the essential lesson? Does anybody know what Prabhupada gives from that?
That they consider that he is crazy and they don't bother him.
And never wanted to be disturbed. He does not want any chance, because in the last life already he was disturbed.
More careful.
So he does not want to take any chance in his internal bhajan.
Okay. Yeah. But he wants, he doesn't, but that is true.
He was on the platform of self-realization, so all these regulations and all this, he was neither interested in following them and nor did the effect. He was already transcendental.
Actually, he was fearful that he will get attached to the worldly efforts, so to that extent he was neglecting it in a purpose manner.
Yeah, you are all sense is correct, but especially the main point I was expecting is probably two things from Prabhupada's purport. Prabhupada says the essential lesson from Jadabharat's this attitude is like avoiding non-devotee association. Because in the case of Jadabharat, although he was born in a family of the descendants of Angira Rishi, in fact there is a verse which describes the qualities of his father and the Brahmana. List of qualities are there. You may think like what a family lineage, one may think so fortunate to. But then although he was born in such a glorious family, they were all actually in the Karmakanda platform. So Prabhupada says, so because they were all actually not devotees, pious people, Karmakanda this one, this one. But Jadabharat wanted to avoid the non-devotee association.
Even in the body of deer,
Even in the
body of deer, he wanted no association. He was just remaining outside the ashram of sages. From that point, he was avoiding the association.
That the same thing what Prabhupada is saying, even in the body of a deer he was avoiding. So the same thing is actually coming here. If his family would have been devotees, he would not have acted in that manner. Because actually he was feeling that these people are all non-devotees, and he wanted to act in such a way that they lose the inspiration to actually instruct him. And he didn't even, he also spoke in such a manner, he himself would not speak to anybody. Because then he himself would not speak, and then if others would try to speak, he acted in such a way that they never get the inspiration again to actually teach him or something. So but the main principle is that avoiding the non-devotee association, which Prabhupada says. Another thing is that being cautious of Maya and conscious of Krishna. So because they were all, you were surrounded by non-devotee association, you acted in such a way so that he is cautious of their association, he was cautious of Maya. But internally he was meditating on the Lord, conscious of Krishna.
Prabhu, when the time came, he explained
not once but twice, when asked again to explain in more detail.
Yeah.
That time pleased also.
The same quality we saw in the fire, conceals himself. Krishna
has a deep level of deep
His point is saying that you can just speak loudly.
Others say. Of one is goodness, passion, ignorance. Ignorance and passion avoided. The goodness person comes then only if reached.
Yeah.
He's not preaching English.
You're able to hear?
Yes.
In the case of dacoits and the other people, they were all in the mode of ignorance and passion, so therefore Maharaj Jadabharat avoided them. But when he met Rahogan, who was actually in the mode of goodness, he actually preached to them. So there should be discrimination in actually preaching. That is also another. And if we see another thing, Jadabharat and Bharat Maharaj. I am just slightly digressing from the topic. Jadabharat, as Bharat Maharaj, there is a verse in the 5th canto which describes in detail how Bharat Maharaj performed many karmakanda sacrifices. He performed many karmakanda sacrifices for going to heaven, etc. But without having faith in them, without putting his heart into them. Because at that time he was playing the role of a king. As a king, he had to actually teach the citizens how one should actually, even if you want to enjoy sense gratification, this is how you should actually do that by performing sacrifice. But as a Jadabharat, if Bharat Maharaj, if he had acted in a way that not performing karmakanda sacrifices, it would have been violence to the whole kingdom, all the citizens. So he practiced externally, but internally his heart was with Krishna. So only the main reaction comes of an activity when you put your heart into that, when you put your faith into that. Ashraddaya kutam dattam tapastaptam kritam chayad asadyat uchyate patan najadat pratyanoiha. 17th chapter, last verse. When you don't, when you perform an activity without faith, then you don't get the result.
Two examples. Marish Maharaj also was like this. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in his commentary that Grihastha should externally be like a pious person. Internally it should be very Krishna conscious.
Yeah, in the example of Jadabharat, he didn't have an obligation to actually teach the citizens or something. He was just an individual practitioner. And so he didn't have to actually perform any, there's no obligation. He had to set example for others for performing karma kanda. And moreover, you are surrounded by just non-devotee association. So in that sense, we learn both.
Krishna, as you said that there were more, want to teach the person with moral ignorance, but when he came across to Raghuna, goodness will start preaching. So since we are preaching word of Raghuna, we are coming across so many people.
So we have, somebody is in a mode of ignorance or something, we may have, is not in a position to, like, we have to use our innovation, how to actually, maybe just give them prasadam, or speak in such a way, in a language, so that, just like Brugari was like a mode of ignorance, but Haradamani spoke in such a way that, so we have to use our, it's not, how to actually, make him come to the next level, speak in their language. So Prabhupada said, somebody asked, like, what is the spiritual world like? Said, it is like a ocean of LSD. One hippie asked Prabhupada, so something like that. So then Prabhupada says here, a transcendentalist is eager to execute his service to the Lord and therefore he is grateful when the Lord provides material facilities for such service. And mere renunciation of the material world is Falgu Vairagya. One must come to the stage of Yukta Vairagya, that is engaging everything in the service of Lord Krishna. So he is trying to actually touch a point that one may take an example from Python and go into Tamogun, not doing anything. It's like going through, talked about the example of Dhritarashtra. The same example of Dhritarashtra, if you compare Dhritarashtra with Anga Maharaj, both of them, they had bad sense. But the difference between Dhritarashtra and Anga Maharaj is that, can anybody tell what is the difference?
He would openly criticize Anga Maharaj.
Anga Maharaj used the bad behavior of his son to advance spiritually. He thanks the Lord that Lord gave him such a son so that he would get detached from family life. And he left home and,
yeah, that is one. There is one more point. One more. Yes, exactly. One more point.
You are not blindly attached to his son. He was attached to rectify him. But he was not getting rectified, so he went. He left. He was in the mood, in the spirit of service as well as detachment also.
Yeah, especially the point of.
He was too attached to Rashtra and he lost his.
So basically, two things. Anga Maharaj put effort to actually correct his son. He put sufficient effort to actually correct Vena. And then, when he found that this person is beyond, he cannot be corrected, then he had a philosophical aspect of life. Then he had a philosophical outlook towards the life. Like, when we should have the philosophical outlook, when we should actually put effort, that actually determines our maturity. Like in the beginning, when he got a bad son, that time he didn't think that, that time he put his effort to actually correct his son, he didn't say that, oh, it is all the will of the Lord. That is what Dhritarashtra did. When Dhritarashtra was supposed to put effort to correct Duryodhan, that time you are having a philosophical outlook towards the life. Everything is actually happening with the will of the Lord. You are supposed to put effort. As Govindra said that doing the right thing at the wrong time is also wrong thing. You are showing the detachment, you are having a philosophical outlook when you are supposed to actually actively put effort to actually correct this. And Anga Maharaj, when all his attempts failed, then he had a philosophical outlook. Actually, it is the mercy of the Lord. He has given a bad son. Those who have a bad son are more fortunate than the good son. We have to take the lesson of positive attitude. Seeing even the worst situation as a, seeing the positive thing in there. But then he had a philosophical outlook. But Dhritarashtra, when he was having a philosophical outlook, he was supposed to actually put effort. This is the first four verses talk about the lesson from Python, that how one should not over endeavor on the material platform. So now the next guru, 10th guru, is described in the 5th and 6th verse. 10th guru is the ocean. We'll recite the verse. Muni prasanna gambiro, durvigahyo duratyayah, anantaparo kyakshobhya, stimidoda ivarnavah.
Saintly sage is happy and pleasing in his external behavior, whereas internally he is most grave and thoughtful. Because his knowledge is immeasurable and unlimited, he is never disturbed. And thus in all respect, he is like the tranquil waters of the unfathomable and unsurpassable ocean.
So, here this verse talks about the nature of a saintly person. Six qualities are mentioned. Muni prasanna, his saintly person is happy. And second is gambhira. He is inscrutable. Inscrutable in the sense that even the intelligent person cannot understand a saintly person. What is that verse? Vaishnavera Kriya Mudra Vikeha Bhuja. So, Kaviraj Goswami says, a person who is on the platform of love of Godhead, even the most greatest scholar cannot understand a person situated on the platform of love of Godhead. An intelligent person cannot understand him because he is inscrutable. And third quality is Durvigahya. Durvigahya means unsurpassable, or it means the yogi's mind cannot be understood by anyone. That's what Vishnachakava Thakur says. Impossible to cannot be understood by anyone. Or we can say, only a person who is situated on the same platform can actually understand. It takes one to know one, or only a person who is situated on the same platform, purity, he can actually understand. So sometimes we say, oh, aap toh pure devotee hai. That means like, only a pure devotee can understand another pure devotee. So what you are doing is that you are actually flattering him. You are not glorifying him for what he is. You are trying to actually glorify more than what is. So we can perceive the sincerity of the devotee, or some genuineness, or how is certain qualities. But how he is pure devotee, that means like we cannot. For that only person who is also on the platform of purity, same platform we can actually understand. So we should also try to learn. You'll see one of the later verses comes in the Uddhava Gita. I want to try to actually glorify a person for what he is and not actually make him to a high level beyond whatever this. That becomes flattened. So the fourth is Duratyayaha. Is impossible to surpass. He cannot be surpassed because of his great power. Or Hridayan Maharaj writes that having linked his consciousness with the supreme consciousness, his knowledge cannot be measured. His knowledge cannot be measured. A classic statement which Prabhupada writes in the first canto. One who is 100% engaged in the service of the Lord is an emblem of all knowledge. And Narada Muni meets Vyasadeva, and Vyasadeva is actually submitting to Narada Muni and asking him about the cause of his dissatisfaction. He is glorifying Narada Muni that you are actually all knowing, that you are like a sun who knows, travels everywhere. One who is 100% engaged in the service of the Lord is like emblem of all knowledge. It's like a pen drive. It may be small, but when it is connected to your hard disk of 100 terabytes, it has access to all the data in the terabytes, the 100 terabyte. The connector is there. So similarly, a living entity may be infinitesimal, but when it is engaged, 100% in the service of the Lord, he gets connected to the Supreme Lord Krishna, who has got unlimited knowledge. So then, we cannot measure that, in the sense that a devotee's knowledge can also not be measured because he is in contact with the source of unlimited knowledge. And fifth quality is that Ananta Para, that means although sick or in difficult circumstances, a saintly person does not lose control of himself and reveal his inner nature. He is learning all these things from the ocean, from the example, from the quality of the ocean. Ocean does not lose control of himself and reveal his inner nature. Like during the summer season or something, it doesn't become dry. Or sense.
See, Anantapara is also used for Lord.
Tasmad bhavantam.
Similar
verse. Yeah. And the sixth quality is that unagitated, because he has conquered lust. So you can read the next verse, translation. Next verse also about ocean. Next verse, I'll just summarize that. He says like, next verse is that in the case of a ocean, just like a ocean does not dwindle or it becomes over, or it does not overflow. So similarly, a saintly person, he doesn't become like elated when there is a material happiness, or he doesn't become morose when there is some suffering happens. So this is like a lesson from that. So then, when does a saintly person actually becomes happy and when does he become unhappy? So his happiness and unhappiness are in relation to service to Krishna and not relation unto the material platform. That's what is mentioned. So in that sense, of course, our main quality is like we have to, in the sense, our main devotional service should not get affected. We have to remain steady in our devotional service. That we try to learn this quality. There is another beautiful verse in the fourth canto. When Prachetas, when they went to perform austerities, and they came across a huge reservoir of water. Sa samudram upavistirnam. That means it was a huge reservoir of water. It was as if like a ocean, but it was not a ocean. So then it is described, the Prachetas happened to see a great reservoir upavistirnam apashyan su mahat saraha. That great reservoir of water appeared like the mind of a saintly person. Mahan mana iva swacham prasanna salilashayam. Just like a mind of a saintly person is without any agitation, this huge reservoir of water, it was it did not have any waves, did not have any agitations. So then another thing which is explained is that, so another beautiful point is that so not only that ocean was actually without any agitation like the mind of a saintly person, but all the aquatics who are actually living in that huge reservoir of water, they were also peaceful because they had taken shelter of that great reservoir of water. So similarly, Prabhupada says, anybody who takes shelter of that saintly person, he also becomes calm and peaceful. So in that sense, like to develop these qualities, because we put endeavor, but another way is actually to associate with the people who have that qualities. So that's what the Prabhupada writes in the purport. And then he mentions one more point. He says that in the ocean, in the material world, it has actually different agitations. But a saintly person's mind is, of course, there are no agitation. So he says that even the desire to go back to Godhead does not agitate the mind of a saintly person. Because a devotee is satisfied in any condition of life. So of course, one thing, like when we talk, when we hear these actually verses, many of these things, like he is unagitated, even in the fire also we saw how he is unshakable. Like these qualities come repeatedly throughout the Gita and the Bhagavatam, being equipoised. So sometimes we may think that that means a person does not have any emotions. Like many times the scriptures talk about emotional restraint, being equal in happiness and distress, etc. So one may get a feeling that a devotee is like a stone who does not have any emotions. And such kind of people, sometimes they get bewildered when they see, when they saw Prabhupada sometimes calling somebody as rascal and becoming angry. Because they usually have a picture of saintly person means one who does not show his teeth and he just gives a slight smile, doesn't become angry. And so, but if we see in the Gita itself, although Krishna is speaking about so many of these verses, the first recipient of Gita, Arjuna, after hearing the Chatushloki Gita, he said that I am not, like, the more I hear about your opulences, I want to hear even more. 10.17 or something like that. I want to hear even more. I am never satiated by hearing. Like, that shows that how he is filled with the spiritual emotions, that he wants to actually hear more and more. I am actually excited to hear more and more, he says. And the first transmitter of the knowledge of the Gita, and that is Sanjaya, who tells at the end of the Gita, he says, like, as I remember this wonderful conversation between Krishna and Arjuna, my hairs are standing on you. So both the first hearer and the first transmitter, they were not actually free from emotions. they were filled with the spiritual emotions. In that sense, the knowledge of Gita tells about emotional restraint, but that emotional restraint paves the way to emotional enrichment or being filled with spiritual emotions. So we'll go to the next guru. Seventh verse. Drishtvastriyam devamayam
Drishtvastriyam devamayam
Tadbhavair ajitendriyah
Tadbhavair ajitendriyah
Pralobita patatyande
Pralobita patatyande
Tamas yagnav patangavat
Tamas yagnav patangavat.
One who has failed to control his senses immediately feels attracting upon seeing woman's form, which is created by illusory energy of the Supreme Lord. Indeed, when the woman speaks with enticing words, smiles coquettishly, and moves her body sensuously, his mind is immediately captured, and thus he falls blindly into the darkness of material existence, just as the moth, maddened by the fire, rushes blindly into its flames.
So, you will see, like, these five examples will come in this, that sense of touch, the form, sense of smell, sound. So, with the example of this moth gets attracted to the fire and then it gets destroyed. And this is actually attachment to the form of a woman, or especially attachment to some beautiful form, we can say in general. And other examples are elephant is attached to the sense of touch, that will come later. So we'll see that. But all the five examples are mentioned in the purport. Fish, bee gets attracted to the sense of smell, elephant to the sense of touch, and a moth to the form, fish gets attracted to the sense of taste, and deer to the sound. So basically, if you see psychologically, if you study the human male and female body, the man's weak point is actually the form, and the woman's weak point is actually sound. Women's weak point is they get attracted to somebody who speaks nicely, somebody who sings nicely. So their weak point is sound. Man's weak point is actually form. So especially, next verse is actually very powerful. We'll just go to the next verse and then we'll take. Yoshiddhiranya Bharanam Bharadi
Yoshiddhiranya Bharanam Bharadi
Dravyeshu Maya Rachiteshu Mudaha
Dravyeshu Maya Rachiteshu Mudaha
Pralobitatma Hyupaboga Buddhya
Pralobitatma Hyupaboga Buddhya
Patanga Vannashyati Nashta Drishti
Patanga Vannashyati Nashta Drishti.
A foolish person with no intelligent discrimination is immediately aroused at the sight of a lusty woman beautifully decorated with golden ornaments, fine clothing and other cosmetic features. Being eager for sense gratification, such a fool loses all intelligence and is destroyed just like the moth who rushes into the blazing fire.
So, of course, one should not sometimes read these verses if we get a wrong understanding. Like sometimes, some other devotee was saying that how another verse about like women's form and this. It is not actually criticizing the women itself. Basically, talking about how one should be careful about, one should not get enamored by the external form. And one should not lose focus on the main goal of life. It's not criticizing like women or like that. So Prabhupada Hridayananda Maharaj writes about, he says that the power of this form is that a woman has the power to attract men through all of the material senses, but especially the most powerful is that by her form. That is the most powerful way of actually attracting the men. And then Hridayan Maharaj writes that this fact has been exploited in the modern times by the huge pornographic industries which prey on unfortunate men and women. So therefore, one has to actually develop a habit of actually taking darshan of the deities properly, so we don't get actually affected by the other forms. One has to carefully take darshan of the deities. One should get attracted to the form of the deities. And especially this point, suppose if there is a fire in a city, in a place. So you have to actually definitely bring the fire extinguisher and then actually extinguish the fire. So on one level we have to do that. But what if suppose if the whole city is actually filled with buildings which are made of inflammable material? If the buildings are made up of inflammable material, then it's not that simply bringing the fire extinguisher and fire, that is just like a very superficial solution. That is definitely, that has to be done. But on a deeper level, we have to actually change the structure of the building. We have to change the buildings themselves, we have to use some other material. So especially if you see the modern world, the people's consciousness are actually filled with inflammable material because the consciousness has been made inflammable because of the porn industry or because of the media, the TV and movies, etc. So they have made the consciousness so inflammable, they have made the consciousness so volatile, as soon as there is a slight some provocation or something like agitation, immediately it actually flares up. So the government is not looking at it. They are not trying to do anything about this inflammable material. If they have to do, they have to make all these Bollywood actors and actors and directors and producers, you have to levy such a heavy tax that produce such movies. You have to produce such a heavy tax that nobody would want to produce such movies like that. So that is like real boldness to actually take such decisions. Otherwise, one person, I think one governor of some Uttar Pradesh, some made a statement that even God cannot stop rape like that. It's like such an irresponsible statement he is making. Like he is not doing anything about taking action against all this media and this one. But he is just making.
This moth example is coming, and river into the ocean also comes. This section. So I remember one point, Chaitanya Chaitanya made it, about 11th chapter. The same examples are there. When Vishwarup Darshan is there, there are two examples given. When actually soldiers are entering his mouth, one is moth entering into the fire, and river into the ocean. So Vedanta Deshikachari gives a very beautiful point, three points he makes. That moth entering into fire is like people like Duryodhana. They are voluntarily fighting against the moth. Because moth, no one forces moth to go there. But rivers, by their course of action, are entering into the ocean. They are like Bhishma.
Devotees.
Devotees, Bhishma. Then second point he says is, when river into the ocean, river doesn't change their form. Similarly, devotee, when they are actually going back, when they are giving up their body, their service continues even after giving up the body. But moth destroys itself. Similarly, for non-devotee, everything is on the bodily platform. So when they give up the body, everything is destroyed. And the last point he says is that the river, while going into the ocean, it benefits the entire banks, whatever people are there. Entire life stratum is benefited by river. But moth neither actually benefits himself but encourages other moths also to enter the river.
So beautiful point. So
ब्रेक होगा ना तब मेरे को इस दिन मैंने सुबह मेरा भी कॉल किया है कॉल किया
मैं तो साइलेंट में रहता हूँ कभी का
मेरे को मिस कॉल देंगे इसको स्टॉप करना
सो now ninth verse. So now, from 9th to 12th verse, he is actually giving lessons from honeybee. 9th to 12th verse, he is giving lessons from honeybee. And there are two types of honeybees. One is Makshika and another is called as, I think, Brahmara. So the 9th and 10th verse are dedicated to the first lessons from the first honeybee. And 11th and 12th verse are dedicated to lessons from the second honeybee. So one honeybee is that it goes from flower to flower. It collects little nectar from one flower and another. It goes from flower to flower. It does not stay at one flower. Another honeybee is that it takes the honey and stores in one particular place. These are the two kinds of honeybees. So the lessons from both the honeybees are mentioned. We'll read this. Stokam grased grasam.
Stokam stokam grased grasam.
Deho varteta yavata.
Deho varteta yavata.
Vrihan ahimsan atishtet.
Vrihan ahimsan atishtet.
Vrittim madukari munihi.
Vrittim madukari munihi.
He should go from door to door, accepting just a little bit of food from each family. Thus, he should practice the occupation of the honeybee.
So, here is that, especially it's explained, like previously the sannyasi, you have to see from a little cultural context, and also we can take the general principle. Usually, previously sannyasis would actually perform this madhukari vritti, they would from door to door. So here the principle is that one should not actually stick to one particular home who give a lot of food. So saintly person should not become attached to one particular home who gives very nice food. But instead one should collect little from different homes. And then another point is like one should not go too often to the same place. So knowing that, here I'll get some good food or something. So these principles are important. So Hridayan Maharaj says that a saintly person should not become like a chubby bee by actually accepting more food from one particular house and becomes chubby. So, and then he says, one should endeavor strenuously to spread the glories of the Lord, and this is the proper use of human energy. So one place Prabhupada writes in Nectar of Devotion that a brahmana should not only eat on behalf of the Lord but also preach on behalf of the Lord. Because it's explained that Lord Vishnu says that actually I eat through the mouth of the brahmanas than through the sacrifice. Because Lord Vishnu is showing his appreciation of the brahmanas and Vaishnavas. But Prabhupada is cautioning the Brahmanas and Vaishnavas by saying that, I am eating on behalf of the Lord. So one way, that is like an easy part of the service. Prabhupada is saying that one should also preach on behalf of the Lord. So that becomes a strenuous endeavor.
The same point is mentioned in Gauri. Mahaprabhu was not happy with his servant and he asked him to become, get married. He was storing while making
after. Yeah. So there was one of the devotees, I think. Does anybody know which devotee? Govind Ghosh. Haritaki, yeah. Haritaki. So Mahaprabhu asked for Haritaki, digestive. And then he started Haritaki. And the next day, he immediately brought Haritaki.
Then he asked
immediately. Store. 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 Store.
So anyway, but that principle also comes later. So in one sense, when we talk about these qualities, like we cannot absolutely condemn any quality as good, or we cannot absolutely glorify one quality as good and another quality as bad. So every quality has a proper use. Like Bhishma, they tell Yudhishthira Maharaj, no principle in this world, no quality in this world has can be absolutely condemned or absolutely glorified. So, different people have different qualities, different psychophysical nature. So, one has to actually dotail that quality, dotail the propensity in the service of the Lord in a particular situation. Even the storing will also have to be used. Prabhupada writes in a letter purport. Of course, storing is one should not store too much, but at the same time, for the purpose of say Krishna consciousness, one may have to actually
save time,
one may have to save resources. And then, second lesson. So just like honeybee takes nectar from all flowers, big and small, an intelligent human being should take the essence from all the religious scriptures. So this is like another lesson from the first type of honeybee. The first type of honeybee is one, the honeybee which goes from flower to flower. So first lesson is that one should not stick to one particular home who gives good food. And second, that is in respect to sannyasi. The second is that how one should actually take the essence from all the scriptures, big and small. So this grabbing the essence, that is important, because if you see, like even although Srimad Bhagavatam is the most important scripture written by Vyasadeva, we can learn from other scriptures, but we should learn them, we should learn through the eyes of the Srimad Bhagavatam. If a person reads Mahabharata without reading Bhagavatam, one will get confused. But if we read Mahabharata through the eyes of the Bhagavatam, then we can actually, like through the, it means like by seeing the essence, then we can actually learn more. So Parishit Maharaj also, Parishit Maharaj is called a Saranga Iva Sarabhuk. Nanu Dveshti Kalim Rajan Sarango Iva Sarabhuk. Parishit Maharaj, like you can see the maturity of Parishit Maharaj. Parishit Maharaj, he gave, because Kali surrendered to him, so he gave shelter to Kali. But at the same time, he did not allow a free entry for Kali to stay in any place. He showed compassion to Kali, but that compassion to one person did not actually, by that he did not become cruel to the entire kingdom, in the sense that he did not allow him free entry to stay anywhere. At the same time, in the name of being compassionate to the whole kingdom, he did not become cruel to Kali, who had actually surrendered to him. Because when he has been surrendered, Parishit Maharaj, the person has to give protection. So Parishit Maharaj acted in a mature way, but especially Sarango Iva Sarabhuk means like Parishit Maharaj saw that good quality of Kali and he appreciated that. He gave shelter to him. So here, especially this particular thing, seeing the essence is important. So Hridayananda Maharaj writes about education. He contrasts honeybee versus ass. Ass carries a huge load, but honeybee is actually looking only for that essence of the nectar. He says education does not mean to become an intellectual ass carrying heavy loads of useless knowledge. Rather, one should accept the essential knowledge that leads to an eternal life of bliss and understanding. Another beautiful point. And at the present time, people generally have a sectarian concept of religion, and yet there is no scientific understanding of the absolute truth. Such complacent, dogmatic, sectarian religionists can certainly learn something from the example of the honeybee given in this verse. Especially this point of like seeing the essence is actually very important. When we look, don't look for the essence, even while reading scriptures, we can get confused. When Tapan Mishra met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, somebody know that verse? Or I know that translation. What did Tapan Mishra tell to Mahaprabhu? And Mahaprabhu went to meet him in Bangladesh.
I read many scriptures,
बहुशास्त्रे बहुवाक्ये चित्त भ्रमे होए साध्य साधना श्रेष्ठ न होए निश्चय बाय रीडिंग बहुशास्त्रे बहुवाक्य बाय रीडिंग मेनी स्क्रिप्चर्स एंड देयर कमेंट्रीज माय इंटेलिजेंस हैज बिकम बिविल्डर्ड चित्त भ्रम होए एंड बिकॉज ऑफ दैट आई एम नॉट एबल टू एक्चुअली आइडेंटिफाई व्हाट इज साधना एंड व्हाट इज साध्य What is the highest goal and what is the method to attain the goal? Sadhya sadhana sreshta na hai nishche. So basically, means like when we lack this attitude of seeing the essence, even while reading the scriptures, one can actually get bewildered. And what to speak of like modern education in the sense. So, yeah.
Like we are very fortunate to have senior devotees, so many lessons.
Mm-hmm.
Ramayana, Mahabharata, Bhagavatam.
Mm.
Like in this situation, this devotee acted like this.
Mm.
But yet, when that situation comes,
mm.
we fail.
Uh-huh.
So it is, although a lot of hearing is there,
uh-huh.
so what will help us overcome actually? It is the repeated hearing only which will help us implement, or we have to take some other step besides hearing?
No, after hearing, like, we should do preaching also, since we try to share with others. We try, because personal cultivation. Because one is, like, we do hearing, but we try to actually take some responsibility in expanding the preaching mission, along with doing our duties. Like, hearing will definitely help. Like hearing. Because Prabhupada says that even if a person perfects one aspect of a devotional service, by that one can actually perfect his devotional service. That's also he says that. And in the case of Parishit Maharaj, perfected just by hearing. Shukadev Goswami perfected just by chanting. So we do hearing, but we should also try to. Like that hearing should also, we also put effort actually chanting, because in the sense, because especially we gain the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to actually spreading Krishna consciousness by sharing. The sharing can mean anything in the taking some responsibility or in spreading the Krishna consciousness movement according to our talent, propensity, but also actually using our words also, that is also an important aspect of. Because especially, like, hearing is our sadhana, definitely. But mercy, we can make more advancement by getting mercy than by our own sadhana. And especially we get the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by spreading Krishna consciousness. So, yeah, we do more sadhana, sometimes we may chant extra rounds, etc. But the most critical factor, Shura Maharaj writes this book, the indispensable factor in advancing in spiritual life is actually mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And that mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes by actually, especially trying to, not only we do our sadhana, but we also try to actually preach to others. The more we actually preach, more we get mercy. And that one ounce of mercy can be actually greater than even over 64 rounds and 128 rounds. And like it can be actually more, we can make more advancement by mercy than by sadhana. It is not to actually neglect, not to discourage somebody who wants to spend more rounds or something. But Maharaj also mentioned in one class that you can remember, there's the 7th canto Bhagavatam class. Krishna and Prabhu asked a question. Prahlad Maharaj and Avadhut Brahmana, this conversation was going on. So there also Avadhut Brahmana, he's also like that Brahmana was also like Avadhut. He was lying down on the road. He also gives lessons from honeybee and python. So he asked a question, like sometimes some devotees may be like this kind of Avadhut, like a little so, and then he asked a question like, what if suppose we want to chant more, we want to chant more rounds, something want to be like this kind of avadhu, just be satisfied with ourselves and chant more, etc. So Maharaj answered, he said, if we follow the program given by Prabhupada, he said the morning program for those who are staying in the temple, there's a 5 to 9:15, but we can, those who are staying at home, at least we don't have to follow the same morning program, but our chanting and we can have our own morning program. But he said, like, if we do our morning program, that is sufficient for our spiritual protection. And beyond the morning program, you will gain more by giving more than by doing sadhana all day long. Beyond the morning program, like which we do, you will gain more by giving than by doing sadhana all day long. That sense. So, I would say, like, after, along with hearing, you also try to share whatever talents we have. Like, we can, well, somebody may share with some other, some of his ability or talent. Basically, that spreading of the expansion of Krishna consciousness movement. Recently, I was reading one Prabhupada's lecture. He said, like, how can we conquer lust? So Prabhupada was telling a different point. He said, we can conquer the lust by expanding the preaching. So, like that. So, according to our capacity, we can train children, or our family, some people in our family, some people in our buildings, or something. Whatever we try to hear, we try to actually repeat, or we try to share with others, present in a way others. It could be one-to-one preaching, or it could be cultivation. Especially, I think Gaur Gopal was mentioning that we should try to take some responsibility. Maharaj also mentions, apart from our sadhana, another sadhana which we should do, by which we can make like strong advancement, is like taking responsibilities. Apart from our sadhana of 16 rounds, another important sadhana which we should perform is actually taking some responsibilities in. It could be some responsibility of maybe somebody, it could be cooking. So I will take responsibility for cooking for like somebody, it could be like following or something. So that the extent we take anxieties, that time the extent we get. So next verse, 11th and 12th. So 11th and 12th, he talks about the second class of honeybee. So the second class of honeybee, one who collects lot of honey and then just stores at a particular place, and then like sometimes the honeybee dies because of actually surrounded by honey, or the honeybee gets stolen by another hunter. That lesson comes later. This actually talks about the principle of greed. Shayantanam shvastanam va na sangrihinita bikshitam pani patro daramanto makshi kevana sangrahi.
Simply, person should not think, this food I will keep to eat tonight and this other food I can serve for tomorrow. In other words, a saintly person should not store foodstuffs acquired by begging, rather he should use his own hands as his plate and eat whatever fits on them. His only storage container should be his belly, and whatever conveniently fits into his belly should be his stock of food. Thus one should not imitate the greedy honeybee who eagerly collects more and more.
So here, again with respect to food, he is saying that a saintly person should not store food. It's mentioned that even when he is seeing food, he should not plan. High standard of this. Vishnu Chakravarti says that One should not collect food thinking, I will eat this tonight or tomorrow. What to speak of thinking of food from the previous day, the previous month or previous full moon. One should not make plans for the food one sees and should also not accept invitations for evening or next day. At least according to some authorities. And with what vessel should one bake from house to house? One should use one's hands as a vessel. Having obtained food, where should one place it? So actually, one class Maharaj was explaining, like sometimes, said like sometimes one may perform certain austerities, one may become little proud. So he said, by comparing with others, so I am performing this nirjal, and he is not performing. But he said, when you want to actually have this attitude of comparison, we should actually compare yourself with the personalities mentioned in the scriptures. You should compare yourself with Dhruva Maharaj, who considered even breathing as a sense gratification. So comparison should be with others, they should be with that. In the sense, if you have to compare, we have to actually compare the principles given here. And then he said, for a grahastha, he said, one should actually, one may see that. So I'm following more stricter standards than maybe these people. So he said, a grahastha should compare himself with Nanda Maharaj. And Nanda Maharaj, when he met Gargacharya, Nanda Maharaj said, actually we are such attached householders. When you great souls come to your house, it is like a festival for us. Like Nanda Maharaj is the father of the Supreme Lord, but he's calling himself as an attached householder. So in that sense, I just thought like, we should try to compare with this. But we can take the principle of actually not over endeavoring or not overeating, or especially here the principle is that, like, not, although the examples to foodstuffs are given, but the main principle is that storing more money, one should not imitate the greedy many and who eagerly collects more and more honey. So here Hridayan Maharaj writes that although I mentioned about two kinds of honeybee. One who goes from flower to flower and one who actually collects from one particular place. Those who manufacture money in the honey in the beehive. So the purpose of then Hridayan Maharaj writes, but for the purpose of spreading Krishna consciousness we can actually store. So he says that one should not store lot for out of greed, but for the purpose of spreading Krishna consciousness, one can store. Of course, in a practical platform, in a family, like, we definitely have to, for the future maintenance of the family in this one, the saving, the principle is definitely there. It's not a... But the overdoing it, that is what is explained. So, for the purpose of spreading Krishna consciousness, one should, one can actually store. But Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur points out, this is called Yukta Vairagya. But one who is not spreading Krishna consciousness, one who is just practicing his own life, like for him, he should follow this principle. Like Rupa Goswami, he gave the principle of not building big temples and not collecting, not having too many followers. But he himself built Radha Govind temple, which is like the greatest temple in the Northern India, which is like symbol of like opulence and this. So what is the understanding? Like he gave the principle of not building big temples, but he built such a big temple. Yeah, for the pleasure of the Lord, he built the temple. Because Lord desired that he actually had to build the temple. One of the instructions Mahaprabhu gave is that you excavate the deities of Vrindavan and established the temples, holy places. So, A saintly person who is unable to work in Lord Chaitanya's mission should practice austerities and collect only what he can hold in his hands and belly. And then Hridayan Maharaj writes, suppose if a person collects something for the purpose of spreading Krishna consciousness, but if he does not use it, if he uses for his own sense gratification, that is the greatest offense. So then he says, but even in the name of Krishna, one should collect only what he can immediately engage in practical devotional service. Otherwise, one will fall down to the platform of ordinary greediness. There is, I think, on Prabhupada's pastime also somewhere in Europe. Prabhupada had told the devotees that you spend the money in printing books. He had instructed them. But that particular temple, they had actually, instead of using the money in printing books, they were actually storing, saving the money in the account. And then ultimately the government officials, they found without accounts or something, they actually arrested the devotees. And then Prabhupada said, I told you not to do this, as a reaction. In that sense, even for spreading Krishna consciousness, the principle of storing is there, but then we have to spend the maximum major point of time in the service of the Lord. Service, we store too much also, then it actually can have an adverse effect. So next verse is, so what if a person disregards that instruction which is given in the previous one? So next, the 12th verse, he is repeating the instruction in the 11th verse. So Hridayan Maharaj says, because it is such an important instruction, therefore it is repeated. So a saintly mendicant should not even collect foodstuffs to eat later in the same day or the next day. If he disregards this injunction, then it will indeed ruin him. His spiritual consciousness will be ruined. This point is so important that it is repeated in this verse. And then the 13th verse. So 13th verse is about the touch sensation. So I'll not the detail of the elephant actually. You know how the elephants are captured? Everybody knows. They actually dig a pit, and then there's a female elephant. So the elephants are expertly attracted with that sense of actually touch sensation. So he's talking about how one should be careful about the touch of and then the 14th verse describes what if a person does not follow the principle given in the 13th verse. So, it's especially about the bodily contact with the opposite sex. So, if a saintly person does not follow this principle of bodily contact with the opposite sex, the person tries to enjoy, then because, when the opposite sex is beautiful, because she may also be desired by many other men, so then those other men may be more powerful than the saintly person, and they will attack the saintly person, he will get killed also. So always, even in the America and all, even the police, they do not want to enter into a love triangle. They know that people can go into any extent that they can kill even the police. So that's what is explained here. I will recite the 14th verse. Nadigache Sriyam Pragya
Nadigache Sriyam Pragya
Karhichin Mrutyu Matmana
Karhichin Mrutyu Matmana
Baladigaisa Hanyeta
Baladigaisa Hanyeta
Gajair Anyair Gajoyata
Gajair Anyair Gajoyata.
A man possessing intelligent discrimination should not, under any circumstances, try to exploit the beautiful form of a woman for his sense gratification. Just as an elephant trying to enjoy a she-elephant is killed by other bull elephants also enjoying her company,
one trying to enjoy a lady's company can at any moment be killed by her other lover who are stronger than he.
So, the next lesson, he gives another lesson from honey. So, baladikai means by people who are superior, stronger, they will actually kill him, who are also attracted to the same member. So, crimes of passion are extremely common, and this is another disadvantage of material life. Na deyam nopabhogyam cha. लुब्धैर्यद्दुःखसञ्चितम् भुक्ते तदपि तच्चान्यो मधुहेवार्तविन्मधु.
A greedy person accumulates a large quantity of money with great struggle and pain.
I think Mataji's and Prabhuji's, no?
Somebody knows.
Especially the person accumulates a large quantity of money with great struggle and pain. But the person who has struggled so much to acquire this wealth is not always allowed to enjoy it himself or give it in charity to others. The greedy man is like the bee who struggles to produce a large quantity of honey, which is then stolen by a man who will enjoy it personally or sell it to others. No matter how carefully one hides his hard-earned wealth or tries to protect it, there are those who are expert in detecting the whereabouts of valuable things, and they will steal it.
So greedy person, like Hazayan Maharaj writes that, like, sometimes even if a person stores lot of money or something, sometimes if a person wants to avoid a tax, but the investment counselors, they steal from him. Or the government makes some new ways to actually extract taxes. In that way, he says, like, we may not be able to enjoy and it will also be stolen. So the principle of actually charity, he talks about that. So capital, even children of wealthy families, sometimes they are kidnapped, or even the parents themselves are kidnapped. So we may see many examples in the newspapers for this. And next verse is another lesson from the honeybee. So this is like exactly opposite to this. So he says that in the case of just as a hunter takes away the honey laboriously produced by the honeybees. So previous verse, the same lesson to show, like, in the case of storing, how one should not store so much, anyway it will be taken away by others, you will also not be able to enjoy. But here it is explained that saintly mendicants such as brahmacharis and sannyasis are entitled to enjoy the property painstakingly accumulated by householders dedicated to family enjoyment. So, of course, this is like saintly, like mendicants and brahmacharis, they should not actually see this verse to take advantage of that. Actually, this is actually from the point of view of the grahasthas in the sense. Like, which verse we have to see from, some verses especially meant for somebody else, some verses meant for others in the sense. Like Prabhupada was going on a morning walk in some Australia somewhere. And then he saw that such nice garden was there, nice park was there. And then Prabhupada said, see, all these materialists, they have worked hard to build all these parks, but they are not able to enjoy. Practically, we are the only person in this garden. And they are actually working hard. They have to go for the office and they are not able to enjoy the kingdom. Then he told this principle. He said, sometimes ant makes a nice ant hill. Rat makes a
hole. Hole inside. Jagger goes inside and eats, and then he stays within that.
Just like rat makes a nice hole, and the snake goes, and then snake actually eats the rat, and then he actually stays comfortably. So, you mentioned that one, even in that third canto, when the four Kumaras entered the Vaikuntha planet, they explained that the Prabhupada says, Saint Sannyasis, they should be, they can go anywhere without any permission, and they are not supposed, they are not, they did not follow any rules. In that sense, the four Kumaras were, they should not have been actually stopped entering there, because they were all highly elevated brahmacharis or sannyasis. This one. So Prabhupada is talking from the point of view of the householder, and of course from the point of view of a brahmacharis and sannyasis. If we read in the third canto, the conversation between Swayambhuva Manu and Kardama Muni, we can learn what was the feelings of Kardama Muni towards Swayambhuva Manu, and what were the feelings of Swayambhuva Manu towards Kardama Muni. So Swayambhuva Manu is actually glorifying Kardama Muni, like, you Brahmanas are actually the real wealth, you are guiding the society. But Kardama Muni, he says, because you are protecting the country, we are able to practice spiritual life. He is actually giving all credit to them. This is like the perfect dealings between the different varna, perfect dealings between the different varnas and ashrams we see there. So,
one more point. Gaurang Prabhu, Bhagavatam very humorously said, the brahmacharis, it is the principle of shaving. And for Vyasa, it is for, you should follow the principle of saving.
Saving. So if the householders enjoy such foodstuffs without first giving in charity to mendicants, such neglectful householders must undergo the lunar fast called as Chandrayanam. In family life, one must overcome the natural tendency towards selfishness by giving abundant charity. So, and then he says, the conclusion is that although the householders work very hard to accumulate money, the saintly sannyasis and brahmacharis have the right to first enjoy the fruits of such labor. The conclusion is that one should give first priority to spiritual advancement in Krishna consciousness and thus perfect one's life. Then even without personal endeavor, one will be supplied all of one's necessities by the mercy of the personality of God. So, basically, if another example, which is the same principle, how it is being demonstrated, is that Prithu Maharaj with the Sanat Kumar. Like the Sanat Kumar, after he gave instructions to Prithu Maharaj, you can read the very beautiful series of verses in the 4th canto, 22nd chapter, something like 30 to 40 or something. 6 or 7 verses, really very inspiring verses and purports. Prithu Maharaj is glorifying the Sanat Kumar. He says, actually, you Brahmanas are the real owners. If somebody in this world is enjoying his own property, it is only the Brahmanas. He says, we Grahasthas, we Kshatriyas, we are simply caretakers of your property. Because you are busy preaching Krishna consciousness, we are taking care of your property. So he says that actually whatever I have, everything belongs to you. So I cannot, in one sense, I cannot give anything in charity. And then he says, and then the next verse, but then I offer all these things, my kingdom, house and everything in charity to you. Then Prabhupada writes in the purport, if he is saying that, oh, everything belongs to him, then why is he actually offering his charity? So he says, it is just like a master has given all the facilities to a servant to actually prepare food. The servant prepares food and then gives it to the master. So in that mood, he is actually telling that. So, of course, and then finally he speaks that famous verse. So he, in that verse he says, I actually offer even my kingdom and even my personal treasury. Usually kings would have some personal treasury called as Ratna Bond, private treasury. He says, I offer even that also. And then finally he explains, for the gift of transcendental knowledge which you are given, if a person thinks that he can actually show gratitude towards that person, he becomes a laughing stock. Yairiritai bhagavata gatiratma vado ekantato nigamibhi pratipaditana tushyant adabra karuno svakritena nityam konama tat pratikaroti vinodapatram. This means like, especially for the gift of transcendental knowledge which you have received from Srila Prabhupada and the spiritual master, we can never actually show, we can never express our gratitude completely. The only way we can show gratitude is that by actually giving it to others. Otherwise, in Prithu Maharaj, if a person thinks that he can express gratitude by giving something, he becomes like a joker in an assembly. So, we can see that this is the example demonstrated by Prithu Maharaj with respect to this principle. Of course, this should not be, as I mentioned, this should not be the brahmacharis or sannyasis should not demand from them, oh, you have to give like that. That is, we see that example of Kardama Muni, how he actually had dealings with Swayambhu Manu. And Prabhupada also mentions that one should not simply eat on behalf of the Lord, but preach on behalf of the Lord. And Prabhupada writes in, I think, the Kashyapa Muni Diti, that section also. In one sense, brahmacharis are like the legs of the society. They are the servants of all the four ashramas. So, I think I'll stop here. So, next week I'm going to take this important section of the story of Pingala. So, next week, of course, there are two, three more gurus. Deer and fish are there. So with respect to sound and... So, this is also relevant to... Deer is actually got attracted by the sound of music. And then the hunter actually attacks. This is actually attraction to material sounds. It also refers to maybe or a cricket match and that's also that. And another is fish, and then I want to take up this next week. We will complete this chapter where I want to discuss the story of Pingala in detail. These verses are really profound verses, so that's why it went a little slowly so that we can take this class next week. So, Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Shri Prabhupada ki jai.